Children of Anguish and Anarchy by Tomi Adeyemi. In Tomi Adeyemi's Children of Anguish and Anarchy, the final installment of the Legacy of Orisha trilogy, the story begins in the immediate, harrowing aftermath of the civil war in Lagos. The kingdom of Orisha has been decimated not by its own internal strife, but by a foreign invader known as the Skulls, a ruthless group belonging to the tribes of Baldiric. These abductors, led by the enigmatic and brutal King Baldir, have systematically raided the Orishan coast, kidnapping Magi and Titorns alike to serve a dark, ancient purpose. Part 1, The Captivity and the Shipwreck. The narrative opens with Zeli Adebola, imprisoned in a hanging iron cage aboard a Skull slave ship. She is in a state of profound physical and spiritual agony, her signature white hair has been shorn, and her body is covered in grime and bruises. To suppress her magic, the Skulls regularly inject her with liquid magicite, a magic dampening poison that leaves her numb and disconnected from her goddess, Oya. Zeli's isolation is total until a new prisoner is thrown into an adjacent cage, Prince Inan. Inan, who was believed to have been left for dead in the palace cellars, is gaunt and scarred but alive. He reveals to Zeli that the Skulls are not merely random slavers, they are searching for a specific individual, the girl with the blood of the sun. This girl is Zeli herself, whose role in restoring magic to Orisha has made her the ultimate prize for King Baldir's ambitions. Inan explains that Baldir hails from a land to the far east and intends to harvest the power of the Magi to elevate his people into gods. The Silver Skull, the captain of the ship, eventually drags Zeli to the captain's quarters to meet King Baldir. Baldir is surprisingly young but carries an aura of absolute power and commanded by the blood metal weapons his people wield. He reveals his plan. He possesses ancient medallions that, when fused with the hearts of those with divine blood, can transform the wearer into a deity. In a scene of horrific violence, Baldir drives a golden medallion into Zeli's breastbone. The metal melts into her flesh, and a blinding gold light fills the room as Zeli's magic is forcibly mutated. Simultaneously, Zain Adebola and the other Magi prisoners, including the Burner Elder Kenyan and the Tider Elder Now, stage a desperate rebellion below deck. During the fray, Zain discovers he can wield the Skull's own blood metal axes after killing their owners, though the weapon seems to feed on his rage and blood, nearly causing him to lose control. The Magi successfully overwhelm the Skulls and seize control of several lifeboats just as the ship is torn apart by a massive, unnatural storm, a side effect of the medallion's activation in Zeli's chest. Part 2, The Discovery of New Gaia. The survivors are scattered across an island chain. Zain, Amari, and the majority of the Magi establish a makeshift camp and begin the slow process of recovery. Zeli and Inan wash up on a different shore, where Zeli discovers that the medallion has fundamentally changed her. Her white hair has regrown, her scars have healed, and she is now plagued by visions of a girl with diamond eyes in a land of emerald stones and volcanic ash. An ancient voice within the medallion commands her to find her. When the group eventually reunites, Zeli uses the power of the medallion to reawaken the magic of the other Magi, bypassing the need for the ritual artifacts that were lost. However, this new power is volatile. The group decides to split. Inan will lead the Magi back to Orisha to mount a defense against the Skulls, while Zeli, Zain, and Amari will sail south to find the girl from Zeli's visions, whom they believe is Baldir's next target. Following a compass taken from the Silver Skull, they arrive at the island nation of New Gaia. They are met with immediate hostility by the Laminas, the elite guard of Emperor Jorah. The New Gaians are a civilization of vineweavers who live in a floating city of vines and lily pads, powered by the Mother Root. Zeli, Zain, and Amari are brought before the Emperor, where they finally meet the girl from the visions, Maia, the future Hierophant of New Gaia. The tension is broken by Yeva, the ancient, 200-year-old Hierophant, who reveals a prophecy. She explains that Zeli is a daughter of the storms, and Maia is a daughter of the forge. According to the prophecy, before the blood moon, all three medallion holders, Zeli, Maia, and Baldir, will unite, and their sacrifice will give birth to a new god. Part 3, Preparation and the Failed Strike. In Orisha, Inan works to unify the fractured kingdom. He manages to negotiate a ceasefire between the Magi, the Titorns, led by his mother, Queen Nihanda, and the Orishan guard. To prove the reality of the Skull threat, Inan uses his connector magic to project a shared hallucination of a Skull attack into the minds of the assembled leaders. This horrific vision of the collective demise finally forces the Orishans to unite as one army. In New Gaia, the protagonists undergo their own preparations. Zayn trains with the Laminas, eventually undergoing a ritual to receive his own bone axe, a weapon literally pulled from his own rib that allows him to fight with his own inner strength rather than the skull's blood metal. Amarion and May develop a deep bond, exploring their magic together in the dreamscape, a mental plane where they share their hopes and fears. Their relationship blossoms into a romance, representing a bridge between their two cultures. Zali trains with Yeva on the summit of Mount Gaia to master the golden lightning granted by the medallion. Yeva warns her that the medallion is feeding on her soul and will eventually transform her into Baldir's greatest weapon unless she learns to harness its power for herself. When Inan arrives in New Gaia with news that Baldir's fleet has docked at a nearby island, Emperor Jorah decides to launch a small tactical strike to assassinate the king. Zali and Zayn join the Emperor and his best Laminas in a night raid. However, the mission is a catastrophic failure. Baldir is prepared for them and reveals he has already sacrificed scores of captured Magi to empower his Galdrasmir. Magic workers. He uses a Blossir, blood oath, to take control of Zali's magic, forcing her to reanimate the fallen skulls to attack her own allies. In the chaos, Maer and Zali are captured, and Jorah and Koa are severely wounded. Part 4, The Ritual of the Blood Moon. Zali and Maer are taken to the skulls' homeland, where they are subjected to further torture by the Galdrasmir. Their bodies are carved with rectangular runes that match Baldir's, preparing them for the final harvest. Baldir reveals his carriers, massive blood metal warships powered by the blood moon that move with unmatched speed. The final ritual takes place at the Old Stone, on a mountain summit under the crimson light of the blood moon. Baldir shoves the second medallion into May's chest and the third into his own. The three of them are levitated into the air as their magic bleeds together, transforming Baldir into a molten, godlike being of iron and storm. As Baldir prepares to complete the ritual and gain absolute power, Zali realizes there is only one way to stop him. Drawing on her final ounce of will, she stabs herself in the heart with a whittled bone, breaking the magical circuit. The resulting explosion of energy strikes Baldir in the chest, halting his transformation and plummeting him back to earth. Zayn, Amari, and Inan arrive just in time to rescue the unconscious girls, but Zali appears to be dead. Part 5, The Final Battle and the God Reborn. The group retreats to New Gaia as Baldir's fleet launches a full-scale invasion of both Orisha and the Island of Vines. In New Gaia, the city is razed, and the people are forced into underground vine bunkers. Maer is successfully resurrected by the Green Maidens and the power of the Mother Root, but Zali remains cold and lifeless. Inan makes the ultimate sacrifice. He carries Zali's body to the summit of Mount Gaia and petitions the spirit of the land to exchange his breath of life for hers. In a vision of the afterlife, Zali and Inan share a final, tender moment in a field of reeds. Inan tells her that he has kept his promise to get her home and urges her to create the Orisha they dreamed of together. He gives her one last kiss before his spirit fades, and Zali wakes up on the mountain, fully reborn. The battle reaches its climax on two fronts. In Orisha, Zayn leads a unified defense of Lagos, where Magi, Titorns, and soldiers fight side by side to repel the skull carriers. In New Gaia, May unleashes the full wrath of the mountain, causing the stone figures carved into the cliffs to rise and crush the skulls. Zali, now a true god reborn, takes to the sky. She combines her golden lightning with her original Reaper magic, raising a massive army of thousands of animations, the spirits of all those the skulls had murdered from the ocean floor. This legion of the dead swarms Baldir's carrier, tearing the foreign warriors apart. In a final confrontation, Zali calls down 1,000 bolts of lightning to incinerate King Baldir, ending the war for good. Epilogue, A New Dawn. The novel concludes with Zali returning to the battered port of Lagos. The city is in ruins, but the atmosphere is one of hope rather than despair. The surviving Magi, Titorns, and soldiers are working together to clear rubble and heal the wounded. Even Queen Nihander acknowledges the new reality, taking Amari by the hand. Zali raises Baldir's golden skull as a trophy, and the people of Orisha cheer for their hard-won victory. The story ends with a reflection on the eternal nature of their magic and the strength of a people who have prevailed against all odds. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriSummary.com. Thank you.